everyone. I got the chance to talk with Robert Hartley and Adam King for Viva La Dirt League's new D&D Logic. Here's the interview.
So the funny thing is when Jeremy reached out to us, my husband had just got done showing me, like, I don't know, the last 30 videos y'all have on your Facebook page.
Oh, wow.
So it was like perfect timing. And what I have to ask is, because he's a big fan of like the PUBG logic, NPC logic, and all that stuff. Going into tabletops is kind of different than like traditional video games. So what was the jump? Why the jump into D&D for your next logic series?
Yeah, I don't know. You can probably speak more to the D&D, Rob, but in my opinion, it's not as much of a jump as most people would think.
Like, yeah, agreed.
It's still one of the things that we love about the content that we make on the channel, whether it's PUBG or NPC Man or Red Dead or Souls Logic, whatever it is it's about the community, and it's about the feeling that you get when you play the game. It's not necessarily about that it's video games, and that's what people connect with. So I don't think it's much of a jump to go, let's do that, but about D&D.
Because you've got the board series as well, which isn't about characters in a video game at all. It's just about guys playing at a playtext or sort of thing. Like it's about people being able to relate to the content and going, oh, I see that. And there's actually not as big a difference between video gaming and tabletop gaming as people think. A lot of people just consider themselves gamers of all kinds and play both. And when you've got games, video games that are literally set in the world of D&D, like Baldur's Gate and Icewind Dale and things like that, there's very little crossover goes into thinking about the crossover people who would play both.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, that was Neverwinter was how I got introduced to D&D. So that makes
sense. Baldur's Gate was how I unknowingly got introduced. I played Baldur's Gate 1 and 2. And then years later, someone was like, oh, that's based on D&D. I was like, what?
I had the same response. I was like, oh, that's a fun game. And then I got into D&D much later. And then I was like, man, I love D&D. I wonder if there's any video games about D&D. Oh, I've already played one.
I think on that note, what are some of like the themes that you're really excited to dive into with the D&D Logic series? Like whether it's from the DM perspective, because I have actually every friend that I have that plays D&D is a DM and not like just a player.
Oh, so no, that must be difficult.
Yeah, it also means I'm constantly getting tried to be pulled into different D&D games.
Yeah, come and join my campaign. Yeah, well, you're in an advantageous position there. The sort of trope position is that people have lots of players and nobody wants to DM because of all the extra responsibilities. Have an abundance of them is pretty useful. What I'm looking forward to is that we're showing the whole thing in the character's perspective. The characters are always in the world, and so we occasionally hear from the DM. Or we see them as other characters, but we're going to show it from the entire thing from the character's perspective in world.
Yeah, that's probably one of the things that I'm excited about as well. Is a lot of I mean, it's what we do for our other series as well. Is everything is kind of from the in-game perspective. Is what would that look like if it was in real life, basically?
Yeah.
And it's a fun way to say there is not a lot of D&D content like this out there, but what is out there, they kind of do rely on seeing table play as well.
Yeah.
You quite often see skits of people like rolling at the table, talking in the player voices, and then they'll intersperse it with in character stuff, in costume and things like that. Whereas we're in costume the whole time, and we're applying the logic of the real world only through them sort of questioning the logic of their own world.
Yeah. And I think like that also brings me like into the next question is like, so watching y'all's stuff, it is player focused. Is there a difficulty in layering on that? Cause I got to see the first episode, which was great. Mostly cause I suck at backstories, but it was great to watch. But there's a moment towards the end where you have, you know, the DM talk, the role happens. Is there a difficulty in like comedic timing of like getting that little overlay on top of
the yeah characters. Yeah. There definitely is. So we sort of had to make that decision early on, like, are we going to be jumping back and forth to the table, this and that and the other. Once we had made the decision, no, we're staying in the character world, then came the difficulty of, okay, well then how do we portray the DM? Because the DM is going to obviously be an integral part of any sort of logic that takes place in the character world. And there were a couple of different ideas that we were toyed with, and we went with a particular idea that people will see. And then came the editing process of going, okay, it's not clear enough that that's not just another voice at the table. How do we make that? Do we work with reverberation around the echoing of the voice? Do we use this? Do we use that? And I think we came to an idea that works so far, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And it's also going to be, as everything that we do is trial, essentially, is if people are very receptive to that, then great, we'll move on with that. If people are not so much, then we've got a few other ideas and tricks up our sleeve that we're keen to try as well. It is the beauty of releasing content the way that we do on YouTube and Facebook, is that you get such immediate feedback from the community.
We'd have to commit to an entire feature film and then release it and realize, oh, and people don't get it.
Yeah. So
Adam and I are both very responsive to comments. So if we start seeing comments being like, I don't understand, was that, I don't understand. And then we'll be like, all right, it's not clear enough to them. Let's work on that in season two or whatever.
I mean, not even in season two, like, but
we could actually change things before it even releases. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of the things after watching episode one, two, that I really loved was the costuming is really good. Pretty intense. As somebody who played a tiefling in Neverwinter, I appreciated the representation right off the bat.
Yeah, nice.
what went into the costume? Because I know that Viva La Dirt League has a D&D campaign that y'all run as well. Was there bringing in existing characters that you all play as into this, or was it just like let's go and just
no? So one of the things I said right from the off, I said I'm going to be very strict on there being no crossover between the D&D logic and the D&D campaign that we run, because I don't want to muddy either one. I don't want people to have to have seen one in order to enjoy the other, especially because we're releasing them on two completely different YouTube channels. And so I don't want there to be any sort of, and with the requirement of the D&D logic skits being short skits that people will just kind of scroll past and, oh, maybe they'll pause and watch it, that you can't rely on them understanding who this character is and all of the backstory that goes with them and stuff like that. So the next thing that came into it was I wanted to make sure that every character had a different class and a different species. So the tiefling is represented and the human is represented and the dwarf and the elf and the Goliath and all of this.
We had a lot of discussions early on about what races, because obviously there's a lot of amazing and varied races in D&D, and a lot of them don't look particularly human. And
so
we had a chat, like we ranked all of the races.
Literally put D&D a number to them all. Yeah.
And ranked them by their difficulty of how it was going to be to achieve. So
Aarakocra has fully functioning wings and is a bird person that can talk through.
So that was like in the top level.
Like maybe don't do that in season one.
so we kind of like, I think we ruled out the top tier entirely. And then we went, okay, let's try and get a couple from tier two, which we ended up going with tiefling and Goliath. And Firbolg as well, actually.
Yeah, tiefling, Goliath and Firbolg were probably the most makeup intensive ones. Difficulty, especially with the Goliath in game meant to be like between 7 and 8 feet tall, and same with the Firbolg. So it was like, we had to cast tall actors for those and then put them in boots, big boots.
And then cast short actors as halflings and dwarves and use a bit of camera trickery.
I think the next piece that I want to ask, and I feel like it's kind of been touched on, but like, are you hoping, I guess, what is the type of audience that you hope you reach with this? Are you hoping to get like people who haven't been exposed to D&D, like into D&D now? Or are you kind of going for like, you know, the existing community?
Yeah, one of the wonderful things about it, and I really tried to aim for this in my writing of it, is that people who haven't played D&D will still understand what the joke is, hopefully. Yeah. And people who have played video games but not role-playing games might understand it. And there's if you enjoy just the Viva La Dirt League guys, you'll see the same sort of comedy and humor and the same cast that you're used to seeing and things like that. So there's something for a bit of everyone. If you just enjoy D&D and you've never heard of Viva La Dirt League before, you'll love them because they sort of like the jokes and memes that you see around D&D. And then yeah, if you're coming at it from all these different angles, hopefully there'll be something for you.
One of the things that we always strive for in Viva La Dirt League is as a test that we put on it is, will my mum like it? and it's a two-pronged test. It's, will my mum like it, and will the hardcores like it? And if you can please both of those both of those groups with one skit, then you've got a winner.
Yeah. I think
a lot of the D&D logic skits are gonna hit both those groups.
Now, will my mum like it and will my mum understand it are two different things.
that's kind of what I mean. Like, we have a lot of PUBG episodes and NPC episodes. That, yeah, I'll get a call or a text from my mum being like, I love the most recent episode. It was very funny with this bit and this bit and this bit. And I'm like, oh, but the actual joke whiffed over your head, didn't it?
Yeah. What goes into kind of, because I'm assuming that for D&D logic, it's going to kind of be like one continuous story with like the same characters throughout. What goes into writing that while also hitting those like fun logic points that, yeah, you know, viewers have like come to love you guys for?
So because the primary concern was making sure that people didn't have to watch them in series. They can watch them out of order. Somebody, like maybe somebody loves every one of them, but it's not until like the sixth episode that they go, oh, so-and-so, my friend would really like that episode, yeah, because it pertains to an in-joke that we have at the table, blah. And then they can send them just that episode and their friend doesn't have to watch all the previous five to understand, yeah, skit six. So that was my primary concern. And so it started with me just putting down a list of all the different ideas I had for what would make a funny skit. And then once I had that, I could pick the ones that kind of happened to make an overarching D&D campaign kind of story, and went, yeah, okay, we'll take those ones and make that into it. And so the first episode is obviously a joke around the introduction of their backstories, and so that obviously comes first. And then the last episode of this season will be, well, I don't want to spoil too much, but it's something that culminates a campaign, arc in D&D.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I guess, so from like the, like being a part of the cast and like the acting perspective, what's that like, Adam?
It was so strange. Something that came up at the end of the first day, I think it may have been, is that none of us have ever done LARPing, live action roleplay. But it felt like an awesome version of LARPing, because here we are, nine actors, all in costume, all in, because I mean the Viva crew loves to improvise, so all kind of improvising around our characters and around the scenario. And it legitimately felt like we were LARPing or something.
Yeah,
we're
people, just we're sitting there.
This
in
is
a
what
tavern.
LARPing can be like. Yeah. I would love this.
Yeah, sitting around a tavern, drinking from tankards and eating nuts and bread as we're just chatting in between takes.
It's because as you've seen, it was actually, that's right, it was the first day from the tavern, wasn't it? And so that from that episode that you've seen, the first episode, we're all literally just sitting around a table having,
I'm staring at a Goliath and
as we've got the lighting guys and the camera guys working around us off take, and we're all just sitting there having a laugh and chatting about the last take and what someone said and joking around and being like, oh my god, this, because we were in a real tavern with real props in costume, it just felt so freaking awesome.
So I think one of the questions I have too, specifically from the DM perspective, is I can easily see a lot of like the logic points that will come up for like players. But I can also see something like, say, a player completely ruining everything for the DM and having like, if you can, is there like any way you can kind of dive into how you can represent like the DM logic that also goes into it, that is a little bit harder to like see when the players are there? I don't know if that question made sense.
No, it definitely did. As a DM, it made sense. I'm not sure if it makes sense to anyone who doesn't know the game. Yeah, it definitely made sense to me, especially with players ruining your plans.
What? Players never do that.
What?
So there are a lot of mine, there's a lot of gold to mine around the DM's perspective in terms of logic, but there's also just as much from the player's perspective. So I have a lot of skits that work in the character. I've also thought of ideas for how to include the DM in the character's world, because they kind of are in the character. They're making the world. So they're almost like an omnipotent god of that world. And so we've got ways to introduce them into the campaign if it's necessary for future skits. But a lot of the things that the DM has to deal with are dealt with in the character world. So people I'm talking about at the gaming table. So the DM will make adjustments on the fly, which will adjust the character's world on the fly. And so we can still see that from the character's perspective as the world changes around them on the fly and things like that. So there's still ways to sort of readjust the way that you're coming at it and come at it from the character's perspective still.
You saying that the DM is the world, for some reason what popped into my mind when you said that was someone trying to chop down, to chop down a tree with a spoon or something, I don't know. And then the tree comes to life as the DM's face, like, we're not going to chop down a tree. give it in. No matter what you roll,
I'm not going to let you roll for it. Roll athletics. No, it doesn't matter if you're in it, 20. You're not chopping the tree down with a spoon. But I'm just going to roll.
Knot in the tree turns into a face and goes, mate, just leave it alone.
Fine, not a spoon. I'll pick up this rock and hit it. And then the rock turns into the DM as well. He's like, nah, you can't pick me up. I'm too heavy. Athletics check. No, I'm too heavy. You can't. Yeah. Skit idea. I'm going to jet that down.
I will say, I've done one one shot, and I was a very aggro half-orc barbarian, but my DM didn't think that I would be. And so I just decided to fight everybody that we encountered and may have made his life very, very hard.
that's your DM's job, I guess, isn't it?
I think one of my last questions really is just what are you hoping that fans take away from this? And fans can just be viewers in general, whether it's somebody who's just stumbling across D&D logic for the first time or somebody who has been watching y'all, through all of your logics. What are you hoping people walk away with?
One thing I want the broader fan base, at least the broader Viva La Dirt League fan base or the broader nerd culture in general to walk away with it is a bit of a deeper understanding that a tabletop game like D&D is not deep nerd. It is just as fun and just as enjoyable as the video games that you may enjoy. That's what I'm hoping, because I feel like we have the main Viva La Dirt League channel and then we have the D&D channel, and I know that there's a large portion of our main channel audience who think that going to the other channel is deep nerd. I want to prove to them it's not. Basically, it's just as fun and just as enjoyable.
I'm grateful for the existence of LARPing, live action roleplay, because it allowed myself to get into D&D in the first place, because I was like, well, I might be deep nerd now, but there's another level of deeper nerd than me. And so I was allowing myself to do that. And if it wasn't for that, then I might not have given D&D a go and realized just how fun it is. The very least that I hope people come away with this in this current day and age of incessant scrolling of content is that somebody pauses, watches the video, and then lets out a soft exhale from the nose. And then but what I would love for people to come away with is them going, wow, D&D looks a lot of fun. These guys are a lot of fun playing it. Oh, what's this? They've got a D&D channel over on the other channel. And then they go over there, they get involved in the content in an even bigger way. And then they message us saying, hey, I've been playing D&D for a year now because of you guys. That would be the
Has happened already, literally, just from our D&D content. We get messages all the time, people saying, because of the fun that you guys have on your channel, I decided to try out D&D and I love it. And it's like, fantastic.
That's amazing. So if anybody listening to this interview or watching episode one of D&D Logic for the first time does decide to take that jump, give me your one piece of sage advice for somebody starting D&D for the first time.
Session zero. You have to talk with everybody before starting about what expectations are for the game. What sort of a campaign do you want to play? Do you want to be running around killing everybody without consequence? Do you want to be like super gritty realism, Game of Thrones sort of thing? Like, what are we going for with this campaign, and what would you like to play? And most importantly, what boundaries are off limits at the table? Do we not want to touch on this topic? Do we not want to have the inclusion of spiders if you're super arachnophobic, or zombies if that's a trigger for you? All that sort of thing. That should all be talked about ahead of time, so that it will reduce the number of horror stories that people hear about D&D.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a player, I think one of my because I've never DM'd, so I don't know. But as a player. I always give people the acting technique, which is yes and. So when you're playing, listen to your other players and don't shut down what they are trying to bring to the game. So even if you think it's a really bad idea, you kind of go, yes, let's do that, and let's do this, and or. Yeah. If it's a really good idea, yes, and I'm going to build on it with this idea that I've got as well. As opposed to, I haven't had this experience, but I can heard from other people, and I imagine that you can get groups who all just want to go off and kind of do. They've all got different ideas, and that would probably be very hard to wrangle. Whereas, working, you don't have to work together as a team, but you can build on those people's ideas.
Yeah,
it's easier to
listen and play with your players.
It's easier to steer a runaway cart than it is to stop it.
Yeah.
So yes and is like steering it in this direction, and no but is into a wall a bit more.
Yeah. That's a really good explanation. Wow, that's awesome. Well, thank you all so much for your time. That's all I got. If you want to just do a quick, I guess, plug for Viva La Dirt League, D&D Logic, anything, tell people where they can find y'all on the internet, where they can find videos, all that stuff.
So let me, before I launch into it here. So D&D Logic is starting next Tuesday, the 31st of August, with the very first episode about level one backstories. Check it out on youtube.com/VivaLaDirtLeague. And then if you like it, go over to youtube.com/VivaLaDirtLeagueD&D and check out our actual game D&D stuff as well.
And you can also catch us on Twitch. Adam streams, yes. I stream, Alan streams, Rowan streams, Ben streams, pretty much everyone can, even vaguely connected with Viva La Dirt League streams on Twitch.
Yes, at twitch.tv/VLDL/teams/VLDL. I can't remember what that link is. You're live right now.
Go to twitch.tv/RobertHartleyGM and then go from there to everybody else.
or that /team/VLDL. Yes, that's what it is.
Team/VLDL. There you go.
Awesome. Yeah. And then if y'all want to plug for yourselves too, like, where can people find, if they liked what y'all were talking about, maybe they want to see more DM stuff or.
Yeah. So I'm a full-time dungeon master, and I spend a lot of time on Twitch at Robert Hartley, at twitch.tv/RobertHartleyGM. But you can find some of my content on YouTube as well at Robert Hartley. And just anywhere you type my name, you'll find me.
Mm-hmm. And you just find me on Viva La Dirt League, or you can check out my Instagram, which is Adam King Film, where I post what I'm up to with Viva La Dirt League.
Cat videos.
And cats. And lots of cats.
lots of cat
I foster
videos.
Cats as well. So
cats are important.
Exactly.